This is for the National Federation of the Blind Senior Division. We have people from all over the United States. We have 28 retreaters who might not all be here at the moment. And we have our own members. Some of our board members are with us, and also some volunteers who are controlling the Zoom. I want to introduce myself first. I am Judy Sanders, and I am first vice president of this division. Today, I am here on behalf of Glenn Crosby, who is traveling back from an event that occurred yesterday. One of our longtime members, Scott LaBar, passed away in December. He was famous for many things, and he's from Colorado, and the NFB had a memorial for him, or a celebration of life. And both Glenn and Norma Crosby went from Texas to Colorado to be a part of the event in person. The rest of us listened on Zoom, but there were several hundred people there. I think what we will do is begin with everything we want to know about Zoom, but we're afraid to ask or not smart enough to think we should. I'm going to call upon Jane Degenshine, and she will introduce our lead Zoom technicians, or then they'll tell us everything we need to know.
Very good. So my name is Janie Degenshine, otherwise known as Jane Degenshine, otherwise known as Woohoo. I'm a very happy person, and I talk just as much as Judy. So you're in for a lot of talk. But anyway, I'm the senior division president and the technology division president here in New Jersey. I'm also a board member, happily and thrilled, on the national board. So my job was to coordinate the Zoom team. So I call myself the Zoom tech coordinator. And we have a huge Zoom team of people that are going to be coming in and out throughout the whole week, all volunteering on behalf of the senior division. And our lead is none other than Michael Loft, and you can't get a better lead Zoom host than Michael. So Michael, I'd like to introduce you, and if you could share a little bit about yourself, number one, why you do what you do, number two, and what Zoom etiquette is, and how would they go about following it? Thank you.
Okay, well, hello everyone. As you said, my name is Michael Loft. L-A-U-F, loud and usually funny. I am in the Hoosier state. No one knows what Hoosier means, but Indiana. A little about myself. My background, I have a degree in radio, television, broadcasting. And right now I'm self-employed, and I build and manage websites, including NFB affiliates of Indiana, Ohio, Alaska, Alabama, and Delaware. We've been doing a lot of online event management. It started from the pandemic. So we helped with the senior retreat 2020. So we enjoy doing that, and that's kind of what made me get under the hood and really learn all the crazy things about Zoom. As far as etiquette, now today it's set where everyone can unmute. What it'll do tomorrow going forward, everyone will come in, Zoom will be set so that you'll be muted by default so that you don't accidentally talk and disrupt and not even know that you're doing so. But then you'll be able to either on your computer press the key of Alt-A, which will toggle your audio on and off, or on your phone, you'll just double tap. There's a button to mute and unmute. And if you're on a telephone, you will press *6, which is a toggle that'll let you unmute to be heard, or mute if you want to make sure that no one hears your TV or your dog's barking, what have you. So in most cases, you'll stay muted until usually we do question and answers near the end of the presentations. So the other thing you can do if you want to ask a question is raise your hand. On the computer, that is done with Alt Y, as in yell. On your phone, that is done with *9, as in the Y key there, *9. Again, it's a toggle. You can raise and lower, but if you do raise your hand, probably unless you just change your mind and don't want to ask your question, otherwise leave your hand up. Let us lower it for you. That way we can keep track and make sure that you're muted and everything is set properly. And of course, on your phone, it's a little trickier, but there's the bottom right, there's a more button, and you go in there and you can double tap to raise your hand. That's how you do it. Those are the main ways that we communicate. Other than that, you can just sit back and listen and learn and take notes, or just ask questions at the appropriate times. I hope I covered the main stuff that you would need to know.
Did. Thank you very much. I'm going to hand it over to Judy. We also have a Zoom host here helping us today, and also at the wrap up. Her name is Ellen Sullivan. Ellen, can you introduce yourself?
What I'd like us to do next is introduce Shelley Koppel, who is our secretary, is actually one of the two coordinators, along with Janie, who organized the curriculum and did all this work. So I'm going to ask Shelley to tell us what she wants us to know about this coming week. Then we'll take it from there.
Hi, I'm Shelley Koppel. I live in West Columbia, South Carolina, and I've been a member of the National Federation of the Blind a long time. And I'm very proud to say that I am a member of the board of the senior division nationally. And it's been a lot of fun to do this. I think my career has been in the realm of rehabilitation teaching. I lost my sight kind of unexpectedly, I guess I would say. And as a result of having the training I'd had and learning what I know, it has been just a complete joy to me to be able to impart that to other individuals that I've worked with. As a result of that, I have really enjoyed helping put together these virtual senior retreats. And we also have in-person ones off and on. We had a couple in the fall of 2018 and 19 before the pandemic, and we are hoping to have another in-person one maybe this year in 2023. And it would be in South Carolina at a camp called Camp Rocky Bottom. It's very neat to be in person. As far as this retreat, every day we get on at noon Eastern time. So at noon, we're going to have a session, cane travel. Cane travel is with a long white cane. That's what we will be focusing on. Winfred Haynes is going to be our lead instructor. So every day he will come on at noon to talk about various issues with long white cane. 1 p.m. will be myself with home management. We'll be talking about various aspects of home management. At 3 p.m., we will talk about technology, and Jane Degenstein will be the lead instructor on that. And she will have other guest speakers throughout the week. On our last 4 p.m., kind of a hodgepodge of different things, and Glenn Crosby, our senior division president, will be talking at that time. He has a host of people that will be helping him. Now, at 2 p.m., we will be having what we call an open mic. We will stay on Zoom. Nothing will shut down, but you may just let your phone go and you can hear the chatter and whatever and eat lunch if you want, or we will have conversation. People can get to know each other. So it's a time to ask questions and maybe get to know other people that are joining. On Saturday at 1 p.m., we'll have kind of a wind-up session where we will discuss what we've learned and those kinds of things. It's been a complete joy to work on this retreat. And if anybody has any questions, you're welcome to reach out to me. I'm very approachable. I love to talk.
This is Janie again, and I just want to let you know that the open time sessions have been tremendous over the years. And sometimes if there's nothing to talk about, we can come up with some items of interest that we might want to think about. I call them thought provokers. And I think Miss Judy is here.
I want to know if anybody has any questions of Shelley or anybody else for that matter, either about Zoom or about what Shelley told you was going to be going on this week. You can now practice your Zoom skills and raise your hand if you want to speak. Please say your name and then wait to be recognized before you start talking. We want to know who you are first.
Ada Wilson.
All of those different times and different sessions, I was under the impression that this was an hour a day until Saturday. And I wasn't aware that there were all these other things going on and happening all afternoon. Is there any way you can email or send a whole list of the entire schedule of what's available?
Let me answer that. The email, it doesn't have the specific curriculum, but it does have the hours, which are based on Eastern time zone. But it's not just an hour. It's from Monday through Friday. It's going to be noon to five.
Also, Ada, we will have recordings, assuming all goes well. We'll have recordings of everything. So if there's a particular session that you couldn't catch live or you want to listen again, you'll be able to do so after the...
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Bernard has his hand raised.
This is Bernie from Richmond, Virginia. I'm already interested in talking to several of these presenters already. Will we be receiving a list of, for networking purposes, a list of names and email addresses after the conference or at some point during the conference? That's my question.
This is Shelley.
Yes, Shelley.
Thumb drive at the end of all of this with the actual recording of all the teaching for every day, every hour. We also have a list on there of all the participants, their contact information, and a big resource list of not only the things that were covered in this retreat, but the two other virtual retreats we've had. You could get thumb drives of those as well. But we have a huge resource list, yes, of a lot of aids and appliances and various companies that deal with some kind of service to the blind. There will be this thumb drive that we will give to everyone at the end of the retreat.
If for some reason you don't want your name or number on the list, you can just tell us privately and it won't be there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Any other questions, though?
I have a question.
Tell us who you are.
Okay, my name is Carolyn and I'm from Pennsylvania. Now, you said during the presentation, we're not allowed to speak, right? But then at the 2 o'clock hour, we can ask a question?
No, the particular presenter may express a preference that he or she wants us to listen and then ask questions, or they may tell us that we can ask it at intervening points, whenever they tell us, and we'll raise our hand to ask questions. So it's really going to be how the particular presenter wants it to be.
Okay. And then another question I have, I can't really see my mute and unmute. Should I use VoiceOver to tell me how to?
Are you on an iPhone?
Well, I have an iPhone. Now I'm on an iPad.
Well, same thing. Yeah, if you use VoiceOver, you just swipe and it'll tell you mute, and then you double tap. You'll hear it. It'll tell you it.
Do you know how to use VoiceOver on your iPad?
Yes.
Okay, that's what you should do.
But I probably have to use my phone because I have to go all the way into settings to access my VoiceOver because it won't work.
Just say, Siri, turn on VoiceOver.
Oh.
And it'll be like, Siri, turn off VoiceOver. It will.
On my iPad.
It should.
It doesn't seem to work. Okay, I'll try that. But I might be on my iPhone anyway. So
you can be wherever you want to be.
Thank you.
And no, you don't have to remember what you needed to ask at 12 o'clock until 2 o'clock, because the 12 o'clock person will tell you, we're going to speak for 25 minutes and then there's a Q&A, or I'm going to speak. And if you have something that you want to interject, you can raise your hand. So each hour will take care of itself and all those questions will be done in that hour. And then if there's something in an overflow, that can be handled in the chat session as well, just
okay.
For clarification.
If we have to leave, we just zoom out
let's talk about that a second. If you have to leave and you know how to get in and out of the session by yourself or with somebody at home helping you, yes, mm-hmm. You may do that anytime you want to. If you were brought into this call by us, then if you leave, you can't come back because we're not going to. No, we can't keep track of you. Okay. So what I recommend for you people is that instead of disconnecting yourself, if you can, put your phone down and keep it muted, but don't disconnect it. And then you'll be able to come back when you're ready.
There's a new attendee and their last four numbers are 1405. Would they identify themselves, please? 1405.
Suzanne Turner, I cannot unmute on the Zoom, so I just called in. On the computer, it says that the host is not allowing me to unmute, so I called in.
No, I just wanted to have a suggestion. I noticed that when I don't click on Got It for the recording,
yes,
that Zoom will not allow me to unmute.
Thank you.
And that's a pop-up point. Yeah, top-up.
Right. So, and these are going to all be recorded, so if you're on an iPhone or an iPad, you have to swipe to get got this or got it. And
you have to do that on a computer too.
Yep. You have to accept that.
And I don't know about just if somebody dials in on a landline.
I don't know if they have an option to do anything on the landline for that at all.
Well, they can. Yeah. I don't know about that. They can mute and unmute, but.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very good point. I wanted to just reiterate that. I don't know why I didn't think of that. Right. Because we're recording these sessions, Zoom wants, for legal reasons, to make sure that you know that the event's being recorded. So if you speak, your voice will be recorded. So you will have to swipe a couple times and there's a button that says got it on your iPhone or on the computer. You tap a few times and it'll tell you it's being recorded and you press spacebar on the got it button and then you can unmute. So that's probably what happened to Suzanne. It will happen to anyone. Scenario where you can't unmute. Because it's being recorded.
We will move on and you'll have other chances to be a part of this. So I want to go on now and introduce our board members whom you haven't heard from yet. So far, you've heard from me, and you've heard from Janie, and you've heard from Shelley. And that's who you've heard from so far. And you've heard in absentia about Glenn Crosby, and that he is not here today. So we could talk about him if you wanted, but we won't. We'll wait. He's going to be there tomorrow. And so we will go on. And then we can go then to our second vice president, who is Suzanne Turner. Suzanne is from Ohio. Suzanne, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us whatever you want us to know.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the senior retreat. You are in a great place today, and thank you for signing up. My name is Suzanne Turner. I am a board member of the senior division, but I also serve in a lot of other roles. I'm in Ohio. I am the president of Cleveland chapter, but I also serve on the executive board for our Ohio affiliate. I'm here to learn as well, so I'm excited to be here. What I will say about Ohio is that we are very passionate about seniors. Ohio is one of the states that is growing the baby boomers who are losing vision due to macular degeneration or glaucoma or medication or just old age. And so we're doing our diligence to educate our blind seniors so they can be independent, safe, and productive in life. So good morning again. And a little bit about myself. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, raised in Mississippi, and now live in Ohio. So I've been around. And so I'm just really excited to be here.
So our treasurer is Duncan Larson.
I'm Duncan Larson. I'm proud to be the treasurer of the National Federation of the Blind Senior Division. I want to welcome all of you to this virtual retreat. I think you're all going to gain a lot of information and ways to really continue to be independent in your lives. I had the pleasure of seeing Glenn and Norma Crosby last night at Scott LaBarre's Celebration of Life. So that was an amazing celebration, and I felt, again, honored to be there and to see so many of the leaders of the National Federation of the Blind there. A little bit about me. I am the director of senior services at the Colorado Center for the Blind. I helped Diane McGeorge found the Colorado Center for the Blind. And I will be tomorrow a presenter on orientation and mobility at the first session that we'll have tomorrow. So I'm really happy to be part of this retreat, and just want to welcome everybody and give thanks to the board members, the other board members who have put so much time and effort into organizing this wonderful event. Thank you.
And some of you will not know who Diane McGeorge is because you've been new enough that you may not have heard from her, but I think many of us have. Diane was president of the NFB of Colorado, along with establishing the Colorado Center for the Blind. And she inspired many of us to continue our lives and live them to the fullest. And she still does at age 90. And so we're very proud of her. And we want her to participate early and often.
And I will just tell you that Diane was there last night at the celebration.
Oh,
and she was one of the last people to leave.
We know Jane is a board member. I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add, Jane.
I just want to, as a welcoming, welcome everyone. And I know that you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we'll be bonding with each other, and you'll feel comfortable enough to ask any question. And that's why we're here. We all learn from each other. That's all I wanted to say.
And our last board member is Sandy Halverson from Virginia.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Sandy Halverson. And as Janie said, we always, all of us learn. We're here to share our expertise, but we always learn in the sharing. I serve in a number of capacities, as Suzanne said. I am first vice president of the National Federation of the Blind of Virginia, and I also serve as coordinator of our Silver Bells for Seniors program, and that's something we can maybe talk about sometime during one of those 2 o'clock hours, the open mic session. So I'm just happy to be a part of this retreat, and I think our National Seniors Division does great work. We're a wonderful, I think, largely untapped resource, but we'll change that this week. And you'll have all of our contact information. And, you know, people taught us along the way. We didn't just get up one morning and know everything. We have a lot of fun and we respect each other. We work hard, but we also know how to play. And I'm going to go back on mute.
I want to say a little bit about the National Federation of the Blind. Many of you are already members of it. You know why you joined it. And then for some of us, it's probably different than for others. But what some of you discovered us through some different source or something, and you are not yet a member of the National Federation of the Blind, or you are new to this. And what we hope is that this will be the beginning of gaining information. And what you need to always know and remember is that the National Federation of the Blind exists so we can live the lives we want and not what others think we should have. And that, you know, that comes into play when we're dealing with our families who think they understand blindness. And or even for ourselves, we think we understand blindness. And either if it's new to us or if we'd never been to exposed, if we'd never been exposed to what could be, we may not understand it as well as we could or should. So this is to break down stereotypes about blindness and to broaden our own horizons, to try to do things that we didn't think we could do. And for some of us, some of the things will be more difficult than for others. And so what that tells us really is if something is particularly difficult, it's probably has nothing to do with your blindness, but it does have to do with something that holds you back. Maybe you haven't figured out what they're really talking about, or, you know, we all have different skills. And some of us are good readers. Some of us are mediocre at reading. Some of us are great cooks. Some of us walk into the kitchen and before you even turn on the stove, you're burning something. So we have to understand that it probably is not our blindness that made us what we are. Now, having said that, then I want to talk to everybody about how we cheat. For a lot of instructors or rehab centers that you'll run into across the country, they help you emphasize what vision you have. And as a result, it may or may not really help you because you're not seeing what you need to see. So everything that we teach you is going to have a non-visual answer to it. And if it doesn't, then maybe the answer is we need to have assistance with a certain thing. And there might be some technology that works for it, or it might be talking to someone else who can tell you what you need to know. With all the subjects, that's the way it's going to be. Having said that, it doesn't mean that you should never use your vision. But what it does mean is while you're doing these classes, we're going to ask you to try not to use your vision. And that's because then when you go back to using it, you'll know what works best, the non-visual technique you learned, or it still works for you to see it. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's the choice you make. But you can't make it unless you try it, the non-visual route. So what we want to do now is to introduce all of you to us. From Arizona, we have Jean Park to begin.
Good afternoon. This is Jean Park. Well, I've only lived in Arizona for 4 years full time. And before that, I was 46 years in Alaska. So I really am Alaskan, just kind of retired to the sunny state instead. I am a retired teacher. I taught high school and in the general fields of vocational education, primarily home economics and health and economics. So kind of, I call it the sex and money stage of life. But from there, I went to, we retired early and we did RVing around the nation. So I've been in every state. In our motorhome, we did not drive to Hawaii. We did fly to Hawaii, but otherwise we were in our motorhome and much of Canada, and we did not drive into Mexico. But other than that, we've been pretty much around North America and have enjoyed that for 11 years of traveling part-time, only 5 months when it was cold in Alaska. And have moved to the Tempe, Arizona State University campus. We're living in a collaborative housing, a collaboratively owned retirement community called Mirabella at ASU. And we are on the ASU campus, which has about 80,000 students. And we call ourselves a senior dorm, but we've enjoyed being part of the university setting where we can engage in classes, intergenerational learning. We have, this is only the second, we've been 2 full years now that we've lived here and it's brand new. So other than that, my husband is also a retired educator. He was at the university level. So living on a campus is pretty normal, kind of familiar to us. I think that's probably enough about me.
So now, the other person from Arizona, I want to present Brenda Woodlock.
I am living in Arizona, but I'm planning on moving to Kentucky, where my daughter lives, on a farm, and settling in there. So that's my project right now. I'm a retired psychotherapist. I've lived in many places in the country. I started in Massachusetts, which is my home state, but I've lived in Texas and Ohio and North Carolina and Washington State. And now it's back to Kentucky to be with family. I really don't have much else to say. I guess I'm here to learn techniques that will help me in the future.
We have a third Arizona, Charles Zelmanovitz. Tell us about yourself, Charles.
You know, I come from New York and I was there for just 9 years. And then we moved out to Arizona and I'm 53 now. So, I mean, we've been out here for, 40 some odd years. And I got a chance to work in a few different factories and had lots of fun. I always knew the day would come where, you know, I wasn't going to be able to, see like everybody else and stuff. So I prepared as much as I could. And I'm just very happy that this organization exists so that everybody can get all the information that's possible and keep entertained and things like that.
Okay, thank you. California. And we want to have Jan Honore.
Hi, I'm Jan Honore, living in Los Angeles area. And I was introduced to your wonderful program by my husband's niece, Diane Yoder, who has benefited so much from your program. And so I look forward to learning also. I'm a retired teacher who was a bilingual Spanish teacher here in Los Angeles in primary, elementary, middle, and senior high school. So I am delighted when I look back on the many wonderful children and students that I have come in contact with and were able to know and serve. I look forward to this program. And I thank you very much in advance for all that I will learn from it and use it very, very well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. We are moving on to Colorado. From Colorado, we have Earlene Hall.
Hello, 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 everyone. So I am a fairly new member to NFB. I was introduced to the organization by Denise Brown out of Philadelphia. I think that's where Denise is. And so I am really looking forward to this retreat because I think I have a lot to learn and I think I will learn a lot. So I am a retired person. I've been retired for quite a while here, and I'm retired from IT. And this is when computers occupied like a whole entire building is when I started. So I and I now know nothing about what's going on today in IT. So that's me.
We're going to move on now to Delaware, and we're going to call on June Hunter Hardy.
Yes. Hi. Good afternoon to everyone.
Hi.
Hi. My name is June Hunter Hardy. I'm the second vice president now of the Delaware affiliate. I also chair the scholarship committee. I was born in Brooklyn, New York. I was raised and educated in Virginia. I live in Delaware. I have lived in Delaware now for 15 years. I retired from the Internal Revenue Service. I was there for 30 years. I have one daughter. Her name is Destiny, and one granddaughter. Her name is Miracle. I am looking forward, very anxious for this, to participate in the senior outreach. So that's all I really have.
All right. Thank you, June. Georgia. And we want to hear from Eleanor Madison.
Eleanor Madison. And I'm new to Georgia. I've only been here maybe 9 months. I was living in California for many years. That's when I began to realize I had a little eyesight problem and was listening to the radio station out of San Diego. And it said, live the life you want to live. And that got my attention. And of course, it was something from the NFB. So I joined there. And then unexpectedly, my son moved to Georgia and he said, I had to come too. So here I am in Georgia, a member of the National Federation of the Blind of Georgia, and also a member of the Gwinnett chapter, which has been a blessing in my life. It has changed. I get too emotional because I'm so blessed by finding people like me, you know, and learning how to deal with technology and all of that. And I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
We are glad to have you. We are moving on to Minnesota. We have, I think, 5 Minnesotans. And so we will begin with Pat Harlan.
Pat Harlan, I am so honored to be listening to you today. I call myself old school. I came to technology very late, was disinterested, and feel kind of lost. I am so happy to be using my phone and to find out that other people are maybe, I'm just kind of blind in that way of learning. And I just feel so included today. And I can't thank the people enough that I've met here in Minnesota that have helped me with all this stuff and been very patient and kind to me. What can I say? I've been retired for quite a while. I'm up to learning new things that I can handle, and especially there's always more to learn, and I'm here to learn. So thank you.
Thank you. Minnesotan number 2 is Dale Heltzer.
Hello, Dale Heltzer from in Rochester, Minnesota. I grew up in Minnesota, moved to Rochester. It'll be 34 years ago next weekend, I believe, and glad to be here. I worked at IBM for a while as a programmer, was married for a while, been using assistive technology of various kinds for years and years and years. So I know a few things here and there.
You not only will learn, you will share.
Of course.
Okay. Thank you. Bonnie Herman, Michelle Primer. Marion Solomons is going to tell us about herself. Marion.
Hello. My name is Marion Solomons. I'm a retired clinical psychologist, born and raised on the East Coast, moving to Las Vegas, Nevada in 2000, and moving to Rochester, Minnesota in 2020. I am happy to say that I'm an active member of this community. The vision loss group of individuals here in Rochester is growing leaps and bounds as far as our low vision support group. We're getting members at this point totaling close to 20 or 30 members. I have tried my very best to encourage people to join the NFB. Some of the members have been here for a long time, like Dale, and some of them, like myself, are new to NFB, like Pat. I am so proud to be part of this organization, and I look forward to the future, learning all kinds of good things. And this is my third retreat, and I learn something new every time I come in. And thank you, everyone, for giving us this opportunity.
Thank you, Marion. I want to tell you, Marion did a first this last week, along with Dale, who did, I don't know, his 33rd or something. I don't know how many times Dale has done it. They joined me at the state capitol and the office buildings there for our day at the capitol for the National Federation of the Blind. One of the things that we do is educate our legislators about the kind of laws they can pass that will help us live the lives we want. And Marion and Dale were troopers the whole way because we had to walk around to different offices. We got lost a little, but we got unlost because we're not there anymore. We're going to move on to Nevada, and we have Bernie Reitz. We're going into the state that has the highest population for this retreat, and that is New Jersey.
Linda DiBardina.
Ada Crandall, are you here from New Jersey? Vincent Alorza. Let's do Ursula.
I'm a retired teacher. I travel around a lot because all my sons left New Jersey, so I'm always traveling to visit them and my grandchildren, and I'm really looking forward to learning as much as I can.
I think it's interesting how many teachers. Jennifer Uchinow.
I'm Jennifer Uchinow. I was born, raised, and lived my entire life in northern New Jersey.
Wow.
I'm a former nurse. I'm a member of course, the New Jersey National Federation of the Blind. And I am the second vice president of the senior division in New Jersey. I make the caring calls to our members and send out the caring cards. And I am really looking forward to this retreat and learning as much as I can. And I know that I will learn a lot. So I thank you very much.
Thank you. Very nicely done. We're going to go on to Ohio. And we would start with Gloria Conway.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Welcome. Gloria Conway. And I am thrilled to be here. I was fortunate to live in Florida for almost 20 years. And while I was down there, I did become a master gardener. I do have an interest in gardening. When my husband passed, I did decide to come back to Ohio where I have family, transportation, and the Cleveland chapter. Shout out to Suzanne Turner, the absolute best president. I am so blessed to be connected with the Cleveland chapter. I'm also treasurer of the Ohio Senior Division. I do live in my own home with two parrots, a blue and gold macaw, and a blue-fronted Amazon. I mow my own lawn with a battery-operated lawnmower. And this year, I've added a battery-operated snow shovel, and there's enough snow out there for me to try it out for the first time. Anyway, that's me in a nutshell.
Thank you. We do have another Ohioan here with us, and that would be Carolyn Peters.
Hello, everyone. From Dayton, Ohio. I'm in the northwestern part of the state, and I was born and raised in Monroe, Georgia. Migrated here for jobs, of course. And my background is that of a social worker, licensed by the state of Ohio, a master's degree. And right now I'm a practicing theologian. I attend the Presbyterian Church USA, and I'm very active with the National Federation of the Blind for the past 10 years. I am now the local chapter president of the Miami Valley chapter, and I'm also the president of our Ohio Communities of Faith Division, and I'm the vice president of the Ohio affiliate, and I'm also treasurer for the National Communities in Faith. I'm excited to be here today.
We are glad to have you, and we're going to Pennsylvania. Carolyn Crawford.
My name is Carolyn Crawford. I'm a retired registered nurse, although I keep my nursing license active. I just renewed my license for 2022, so it'll last for 2 years. I was active in my church before COVID hit with Faith Community Nursing, where you kind of educate the congregation about health issues. I think I had came teaching in 2016. And at that time, I'm going to admit and tell you that I think I kind of blew it off because I had much sight. But through the years, my sight has gotten diminished. And I had a couple surgeries. And I don't know, after my surgery, I kind of, you know, I was so unfamiliar with blindness and everything. And even though I sought out a couple therapists, nobody had any experience working with the blind. I attended a sight center here. It's clear across town. And I went to a couple meetings over there before COVID, but I met this wonderful woman, Connie, and she was really active in knows a lot about the NFB. And at one time she was president of the Erie County chapter of the NFB, and she's trying to get that started again. And she even puts on we have little discussion groups, but she's actually this year, we have a blind and visual services here. And I did receive a caseworker, but I knew really nothing about the Hadley School for the Blind, nothing about peer discussion groups. And it just so happened in January of 22. I don't know what made me do it, but I called Seeking More Cane Services, and then they sent a girl out, and she taught me how to use my iPad, how to use Zoom, how to use YouTube, and connected me with a couple peer groups for the blind because I knew nothing. So I am very new to what's out there. I'm new to the technology. I love it, and I so appreciate it because no one can understand what you're going through, what you're feeling, except somebody that is pretty much going through the same thing. And just by being in the support groups and the discussion groups, I've gained so much confidence. I was in a bit of a rut, so I'm slowly climbing out of my rut where I just kind of didn't want to do anything. So it's new to me, but it's not new to me. The last time I worked was in 2015. And I try to, you know, keep abreast of what's happening in the nursing field and current events in general. The connections that she gave me, Devin, at the Blind and Visual Services, I just told her last week, I said, you just opened up my whole world because I didn't know all these things were out there.
Sherilyn, you are going to discover more things than you ever thought possible this week. Thank you. We're staying in Pennsylvania, and we're going to introduce Dr. Judith Ray. Tell us about yourself.
To tell you about myself, well, I've been just about everywhere. I've been to Alaska. I've been to Minnesota. I've been to New York. I started in Missouri. I grew up in Missouri. I graduated from Washington University in St. Louis. I am a retired college professor teaching kinesiology, biomechanics, health, physical education. I started in physical education, so my two hobbies are sports and music. Music, I've been playing music since I was like about 7. I played tennis with Arthur Ashe. Tennis is sort of my love, and fencing is a sort of a love. I've done sailing and equestrian, horseback riding, dressage, sailing.
You've led an exciting life.
Yeah, so they said. They told me a long time ago to keep a diary, but I was so busy doing it, I didn't have time to write it down.
We're glad you're here. You, in between that hour that we have off, you probably could tell us some stories.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you some stories, and I'm a good storyteller. Thank you, and everybody have a good week.
We have one state left, Virginia, and here's Bernie or Bernard.
Hi, this is Bernie. Please call me Bernie. You call me Bernard, I think I'm in trouble. I live in Chesterfield, Virginia, which is a suburb of Richmond, Virginia. I have a beautiful wife. Her name is Pam. I have 2 grown children. I work full time. I work for the Department of Defense here in Richmond. I'm a contract specialist. I'm 55 years old. I will be 56 in February, God willing. I want to work. My goal is to work until I'm 70. I was born legally blind. And blindness runs in the men in my family. So all the men are blind in my family. I was a high partial most of my life. I never learned any blindness skills. I always use magnifiers and CCTVs mm-hmm. and all that stuff. I've lost a lot of vision over my life, and I'm to the point right now where I'm totally blind in my left eye, no vision left at all. Very low amount of vision left in my right eye. And so I'm currently switching from Zoom Text to JAWS and Fusion, and I'm playing catch up. Last spring, I went to Silver Bells program here, which Sandy Halverson heads up. And that was a real blessing. And I really enjoyed it. And I had an epiphany. I can really live the life I want to. Unfortunately, you know, my dad's 86 right now. And it's been very depressing for me seeing him just kind of like, for lack of a better way, just rot away sitting on the porch, just rocking away in his rocking chair. And it's very sad. And I don't want that for myself. So in a nutshell, that's my story. I'm a lifelong learner and I'm here to learn as much as I can. I'm here to learn as much as I can. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. All right. Well, then you have just met the class of 2023. Who did I miss?
Ada, this is Ada Wilson.
Ada, oh, I'm sorry. Ada Wilson, yes, please.
I was born and raised in New York, and I spent 40 years in Connecticut, where I had a wonderful career as a teacher of foreign languages, and English is a second language. And I moved to Philadelphia when I had to stop driving, and I lived there for 7 years, and I spent winters in Puerto Rico. And I am a member of one of the two Philadelphia chapters of NFB, and I have learned an awful lot there. When I moved here, there was the Associated Services for the Blind, and now they are called Vision Link, and they're in the process of transition. I don't know what it will be like when I get back this spring, but it has been amazing for me to meet other people with low and no vision and to learn how to do things and get my toes wet. And now I'm ready to jump in the water. And I've already learned something. I didn't know how to raise my hand before, and now I do.
Thank you, Ada. I'm sorry I missed you. I don't know why I did that. All right, we now have Bonnie from Minnesota. Do you want to tell us about yourself?
I've been blind for 2 years, and I've started a sport group in southern Minnesota, and I'm only 93 years old. I'm looking forward to this retreat to learn more, and Judy is a wonderful person.
Thank you, and I want to tell you, Bonnie's first was that she attended the NFB of Minnesota convention and stayed in the hotel and went off. It was a pleasure to have her there. So she spoke to our senior meeting at that convention. We're glad you're doing this. Then we're going to end this session shortly.
Okay, Janie from New Jersey is sharing that the New Jersey Senior Division has donated $50. We did this last year. And every day randomly throughout the day, one name will be picked. I'll ask Judy at whatever time I decide, and Judy will randomly go through, or you're going to ask Alexa to pick a number or however doing it.
Alexa is going to pick the number of our door prize winner.
We're going to keep a list, and after the retreat is finished, I'll get the list, and each person that wins each day will get a $10 check in the mail from the NFBNJ Senior Division.
All right, everybody, thank you. Have a good rest today, and start learning tomorrow. Thank you very much.